a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I want to call to order Senate Health and Human Services. We have a page here this morning. I think you're new. And I think you're from Yankton, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better. Well, Frey, why don't you come up here, hit the, there's a button on this microphone. It's a green light. Tell us your name and where you're from. And then we've added the challenge of, do you know what you're going to do when you grow up?
Hi, I'm Frey Binder. I'm from Yankton, South Dakota, and next year I'm going to be attending University of Lincoln, Nebraska, but I'm not sure on what I'm going to do yet.
Great. Thank you. Welcome to the committee. With that, I'd ask the secretary to take roll.
Senators Bradford.
Here.
Holeen.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Krebs excused. Rampelberg.
Here.
Zohalt.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Madam Chair, there are six present.
Thank you. We have a quorum present. I would entertain a motion of the minutes from the last meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Holeen, second by Senator Zohalt. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. With that, we are going to go into recess. There has been some new discussion on the bill that we're going to be discussing, 1214. So I don't know how long we'll be in recess. I would hope we could regroup here by 10:30. So we will come back at 10:30. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, committee, we're going to come back out of recess. I wanted to review. We did get, if you recall, the president of the the president of the Senate had asked for a fiscal note, and so a fiscal note has been produced. And in that fiscal note, it is the same fiscal note that was provided in the House. And just as a review of that, the proposed fiscal note says that it would be a total of $527,896 of total funds, of which $241,777 general funds and $286,119 of federal funds. So that's the same amount that was presented in the House for this fiscal statement. And they said with the discussion that there was no change, that the subsequent amendments placed on the bill in the House did not affect the fiscal note. So that fiscal note stays the same. With that, it is my understanding on currently on Senate Bill 1214 that Representative Hunhoff has had some discussion with the governor's office, and Deb Bowman would like to speak to that discussion.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Deb Bowman, Governor, Senior Advisor. First of all, let me apologize. I was gone last week, so I got hit hard this morning with the number of issues that are going on. But we had been working throughout the session in discussions with Representative Hunhoff about this particular bill, 1214. And what the Governor and Representative Hunhoff have agreed to is that this bill would be killed, and a general an amendment to the general bill would be brought forward to cover the costs of the $241,777 in general funds and the $286,119 in federal funds in order to cover the under 184 non-citizens who would be eligible for the prenatal care services that this bill addresses. So we would ask that at least on our part, this bill be killed. Representative Hunhoff has agreed to that, and then an amendment will be brought forward in appropriations.
Thank you. This is atypical. Are there any questions just for clarification of what Ms. Bowman has provided us for information? Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Deb, how do we come up with these exact numbers? Because for me, I mean, this is dealing with prenatal care, isn't it?
Madam Chair, Senator Bradford, how we came up, or the Department of Social Services came up with the number of 184, is currently when a woman is going to deliver a baby, we pay that as required by federal law through, even though she may not have citizen status, through Medicaid, because it's considered an emergency. And so we took the number of women who delivered last year that we paid for that were non-citizens, which was 184, and that's the number we provided you folks, because that's our best guess. So next year it could be 150 or it could be 210. We're giving you the very best number that we have based upon our historical data.
I have a few comments, Senator.
Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Bowman, I think so much, this is more of a comment, but I'm asking a little bit of affirmation, I guess, if you will.
Okay.
You know, as I have looked at this for the past couple of weeks or so, and even talked about it more, you know, it appears to me, and this is part of my question for you, it appears to me that these people are going to be going to hospitals whether this bill is passed or not. It appears to me that the difference is that the hospitals are going to pay for it, which means we're going to pay for it either through higher premiums or more out of pocket, it appears to me. Because somebody's got to pay for this. And if the Medicaid, and if the state isn't paying it through Medicaid or whatever. And the third thing is that when you factor in the fact it's probably less expensive to do the prenatal than it is to do the preemie and the NICU, and we know that there will be a certain percentage of that 184 that will no doubt end up in that. And that's almost a little bit predictable, and that those probably run to $300,000 to $500,000 and maybe even more. So I guess my question of you is that it appears to me again that the intent behind this is to try to figure out a way as a state that we can deal with these things responsibly with all the facts or all the things that I'm asking of you to say is that true or not, and the your request is a reason is to actually bring this down to more than just the seven of us, but to the floor so we can have a debate which is comprehensive in nature throughout our entire Senate. Did you get all that?
Well, let me see. Okay. Well, Madam Chair, Senator Rampelberg, right now I do not believe the hospitals pay for this, because the deliveries are paid for through Medicaid via the provision that the federal government requires that we pay for emergency care. And when the women report to deliver, it's emergency care. You know, this body for a long, I've been around a long time, but probably for at least the last 10 years has had this whole discussion on the cost benefit of prenatal care. The good news is, no matter how anyone feels about health care reform, next January, people at 100% of poverty and above will be able to buy health insurance through the exchange. And so hopefully a lot of these individuals will be covered. However, the issue here is, do we cover the prenatal care for non-citizens or not? And that's always been a pretty heated debate in this body as well. About, you know, the citizen status of people and whether we use tax dollars for that. So it's kind of a quandary that everybody is in, because who would be opposed to prenatal care? Of course, you want good prenatal care. But on the other hand, these folks are not citizens of the state. So, you know, it's a difficult issue. So what we're asking is less that the bill, more that the bill not be brought to the floor. You may have some other thoughts on that for other things, but for our part on this, we would like it to be an amendment to the general bill, because we have never set Medicaid policy in this state via the legislative statute process for the most part. And if we start doing that, that would be what you guys would spend 99% of your time on during a legislative session, because there's so many different aspects of Medicaid. So we've always done it through policy discussion in the general, in the appropriations process, and then that has come to you on the floor of the House and the Senate. So we're asking that we follow a long history of how we've dealt with Medicaid, and that's by bringing it through the appropriations process. And then what else you guys do with this bill is up to you. But did I answer your question, Senator?
Thank you.
Thank you,
very much.
Madam Chair.
Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move Amendment 1214JD.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Solholt and seconded House Bill 1214JD. Comments on that motion? Senator Solholt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is essentially a hog house amendment to 1214 that would take the eligibility for prenatal care for pregnant women from Medicaid eligibility of 133% of poverty level to 140% of poverty level, and providing an expansion during this interim time of Medicaid for those women, knowing that the cost savings happens on the other end.
Thank you. Senator Bradford.
I wonder if it would be out of order to hear a word from Representative Hunhoff whether he's in agreement with this amendment.
Representative Hunhoff, do you want to?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Bernie Hunhoff, state representative from Yankton, District 18. And yes, as long as we're not entering into a Sophie's choice here where it's one or the other, I fully appreciate the administration's support to satisfy my original intent of the bill in another way, and I'm confident that they'll argue for that in the to the Appropriations Committee, and hopefully members of this committee would help us with that as well. So as long as the decision is that we will move forward with an amendment to the general bill to satisfy the original intent of the bill, and I don't disagree with Ms. Bowman's suggestion that maybe that is better handled in the general bill, then I would very much support the intent of this. I think that we can have two wins instead of one. If I may, Madam Chair, back to the original bill, I don't think that we were really creating a new program with the original bill, however. I think we were simply correcting an existing program. And I appreciate the good testimony we had the other day. I think Representative Solholt's amendment is a would also be a good improvement. So I would support both the intent to do it in the general bill and the Hog House Amendment.
Thank you. I just have a few comments on this. I guess as we were looking at data expanding this, the numbers that we would be talking about is potentially 139 individuals that would become eligible if it was expanded to the 140th percentile. And I think the point that taking the numbers that are out there and looking at what that amount is, when you look at fiscal year 12 data, and you look at the number of deliveries that we had in South Dakota and the number of NICU, neonatal intensive care, that comes out to about 13% of the Medicaid deliveries in South Dakota that those babies end up in the NICU. If you take that number then and apply it to the 139 potentials, 13% of that would be about 18 individuals. If you took those 18 individuals and the dollars that were given us for NICU was $14.8 million, if you divided that up by the 581 children that were in NICUs, that comes to $25,000 per admit to NICU. So talking cost avoidance, if you take these 18 eligibles times $25,000, that's approximately $450,000 that are cost avoidance if you don't have these babies going to the NICUs that we would be saving on that side. So I guess that was part of the rationale in trying to see if we had that expansion and to then be able to demonstrate where that cost avoidance or those cost savings that we would not be paying for those babies in NICU. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just would somebody explain to me a little bit the logic behind moving from 138 to 140?
Well, the logic was what was reasonable, and looking, I guess, when looking at a comparison for the numbers that were out there for doing the immigrants, the illegal immigrants, those dollars, what would be something in comparison? And at the same time, something that could possibly be doable in the sense for the state budget, you would be looking about $464,000 plus, which would be a little bit of a comparison. And when you're looking at the cost savings, that seemed realistic as a minor step. The other thing is, before we went into the recession, we were at 140th percentile, but we cut back to 133 for that reduction. So that would bring us back up to where we were.
Another question, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Is because there's an amount in this, would this be referred to appropriations?
You know, with the timing, all bills have to be on the floor. Yes, that would still, there'd be a process there because that would have to be taken into consideration. This is not the bill that came out of the House, so it'll have to go to, if it passes the Senate, has to go to committee, and yes, that would have to be taken into consideration for the budget. Any other questions? Senator Bradford.
Not really a question, but I think we were into some comments that I feel kind of sad that we, I checked on what an illegal immigrant, and you know, if there were no immigrants, this Capitol would be empty. So the fact that we use that word as a, when they're, it's a matter of qualification. It ain't the fact that the person ain't entitled to be here, because everybody came here. And so I just feel kind of this is something that we definitely need to do. Whether and I'm glad that that this way was come about, so the administration and everybody's in accordance with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Jensen.
Madam Chair, just for the record, illegal immigrants cost the state of South Dakota $30 million a year. Just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. The motion then will be will be voice vote. All those in favor of Amendment 1214JD signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. Senator Soholt.
Madam Chair, I would move due pass 1214 as amended.
Is there a second? It's been moved by Senator Soholt, second by Senator Bradford, due pass on House Bill 1214 as amended. Any comments to that motion? Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I'm back to kind of the aspects of how do we do this. I know in the past we've really referred this. And this is my question. I'm in favor of it. I'm just wondering if that should be the motion or whether if it should be something else. So this is the motion in your judgment. Thank you.
Then all those in favor of 1214 as amended signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Madam Chair, there are seven yeas.
Thank you. Motion carried. Thank you, Senator.
Move title amendment.
Yes. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. Well, with that, that concludes all our activity on our bills. Now, we have discussion. We were asked at the last meeting.
You need to specify the number.
I'm sorry. The title amendment. 1214JTA. Thank you for coming. With that committee, we will now have discussion. Are there any suggestions for summer studies from this committee?
Yes.
Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I have five of them.
Go for it.
One of them is I believe that it would behoove the legislature to be planning for what I think will happen over the next 10, 15, 20 years. As we have more people that are going to be retiring and our population will be aging, I think that we have a mismatch of assisted living units that fall, and I'm just using that term, there's more to it than that. And it seems to me that it would be wise for us to do some planning about what we might be able to expect in the future so that we could move forward in a good manner, a well-planned out manner. Second thing that I'm thinking is that, and actually I'm combining three of them into one here, and I'm talking about determining what the legislature feels the Affordable Care Act, how it will really impact us, and how that will, the bill that we just are basically passed, what will that impact be as it starts to relate into the Affordable Care Act? And then the third thing, the second part of that subparagraph is Medicaid. So we look at the Affordable Care Act and we try to find out what the impact might be for Medicaid, what the impact might be for prenatal care, those are just questions that I have in my mind, and it seems to me that it would be wise for us to really get our arms around that from a legislative standpoint. So when we begin to talk about it next session, we have some things that some facts, if you will, some opinions, if you will, that will guide us in our direction. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk a little bit, no, second to last thing. It seems to me that we have a number of providers throughout our state that basically accomplish kind of, they do kind of the same thing, and we kind of fund them just because they are there and they make requests and they're doing some good work. It's kind of like having an engineering school in all three universities. You know, you wonder sometimes how efficient that might be, but I'm talking about, and this again is a lower priority for me, but it just seems to me we probably have some inefficiencies in the way that we look at provider services and who actually is providing maybe the same thing, and they incur an administrative expense, and they incur a lot of they miss out on a lot of efficiencies that could be through mutual purchasing, through mutual software, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The last one I really talked about is administrative efficiencies, and this is a really low priority, but when we think a little bit about how we administer some things, and I was talking to Secretary Malsom Risen, and it looks to me like that's probably a small. Now, let's just remove that one completely. Thank you.
Thank you. Other suggestions? Senator Sobel?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just my interest is following up and really combining some of the things that Senator Rampelberg was talking about, that with the Affordable Care Act, we will have some type of insurance support, financial support. Everyone is going to be covered by something. And so looking at with the not just focusing on the expansion of Medicaid, but how do we look in South Dakota at really transforming our systems so that we are not putting the taxpayers at risk for additional dollars, but actually gaining the efficiencies and the improved outcomes for all groups of people. So it's really looking at how in the state of South Dakota would we manage our Medicaid patients, reduce cost, reduce utilization, make sure people are in the exchange that is appropriate for them if they're not within a employer insurance exchange. So it's more than just how do we expand the dollars of Medicaid, but how do we actually transform our system in South Dakota to reduce cost to the taxpayer or not put them at higher tax burden risk?
Thank you. Any other suggestions? Sure.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, what I was wondering about, you know, right with what Senator Sobel is talking about, I wonder, would that include in your thoughts how the exchange actually works? Because frankly, maybe we're going to find out a lot more about that over the next 10 months, but it sure seems to me like I'd be a lot more comfortable if we had enough knowledge to know how to react responsibly with that. Are you thinking about, in your comment, are you including that?
Yes. Based on the comments made by both of you, I'm just wondering, are we looking at Medicaid for utilization, for quality and cost, and trying to bring all those things together rather than the impact of affordable care, Medicaid inefficiencies that you talked about, all of that, if you sort of had a comprehensive that looked at utilization for quality and cost? Because if you had both those, you'd have the efficiencies and everything in place. Does that sound... The other thing I wanted to ask you is when you talked about potentially, I guess you tripped my trigger, of course, with assisted living and all that, do we need to relook at community-based services as options and, again, sort of utilization for quality and cost, too, for the appropriateness and how we get in there? So I'm lumping that community-based services because I don't think it's just assisted living because other populations could be. I'm just asking that question.
Chair, thank you. You know, actually, that says it a lot better than what I was trying to fumble through, because you're right. That's what is going to be important. What do we actually do in the communities rather than how do we take one aspect of it? Thank you.
Senator Solholt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think it is looking at everyone in the state, where do they fit? how would they receive health care? And for those that are insured through employers and have those benefits, then looking at the rest and saying, all right, what is community-based that's possible? What are we doing that's faith-based to help people? What really is meaningful in Medicaid dollars, and how do we expand it? It's looking at the federal money that is that looked at as one-time money while we work in South Dakota to transform how we're delivering care versus an ongoing federal money into our state, but saying this would be perhaps jumpstart money that we could do pilots and look at quality and efficiency of cost and new models of care. And so it is the whole system look and those that are in the gap. And then where would we need to appropriately take taxpayer dollars to fund to provide access and quality outcome?
That's a lot to, you know, to try to condense down. But again, if I'm going back, if we look at Medicaid utilization for quality and cost, that could really impact all of this when you think about it. And then you could have subsects that you have talked about, transforming or, you know, in community-based services and making that subsets that people could work on in the project.
And, Madam Chair, perhaps it is just saying the quality and cost of Medicaid in all settings. And that would help us to take into account the community-based plus the long-term care and how is that working.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, you know, the way that I think, because of my years of training, is backup positions. And, you know, it seems to me that good leadership would responsibly anticipate how to react to some things that could be coming down the pike with the federal situation. And I hate to even say that because it's so negative. And yet, on the other hand, I'm not even sure how to phrase it, but it sure seems to me that from a healthcare standpoint, for us just to think that the money's always going to be there, given today's situation, I'm really concerned about it. And so it seems to me that there should be some high-level thinking about what do we throw under the bus. I hate to say it that way, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes. Thank you. Well, if we're comfortable with the quality and cost of Medicaid and then working within that, if that would be okay, is that, do I have consensus of that wording? Are you okay with that? All right. Anything else? Well, I want to say thank you again to all of you. It has been a pleasure, and it's always an enlightening opportunity to listen to the perspectives of everything that's going on. You've been a great committee, and we'll be back next year, right? Great. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Solhoff.
Just would like to thank our chairperson of Health and Human Services and for your fine leadership throughout this session. We really appreciate your guidance and everything that you've done for this committee.
Thank you. Well, who's going to give the last motion to adjourn? Okay, Senator Holley.
Second.
Second by Senator Rampelberg. All those in favor of adjourning signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. See you next year.
We're all here.